Good morning and welcome to The Conversation on Coast Community Radio. That's REM from Document, a tune called Fireplace for today's theme song. Thanks for tuning in on April 17th, this radio station's birthday. What a special day. What a bummer that we can't celebrate it together. But there are ways of joining in on the fun, like right now during the conversation. This is our live call-in show. My name's Graham Nystrom. I'll be your host. And this is where the community gets to call in and weigh in on the topic of the week. The topic of the week hasn't changed a whole lot lately. It's still COVID-19, but we're going to add a special emphasis today on the financial implications of COVID-19 and how it's affecting workers, small businesses, undocumented folks. So give us a call, 503-325-0010, and let us know how things are going for you from a financial standpoint during this crisis. And I do have a special guest on the line. Bruce, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Good morning, Graham.
Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us again. This is Astoria Mayor Bruce Jones, and he's going to give us a quick little check-in. And then, excitingly enough, we have some new technology here at the station where we can have two callers on the line. So if you have a question you'd like to ask Bruce, he has offered to stay on the line and to take your questions and answer them to the best of his ability. So, Bruce, thanks for being here, and take it away.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Graham. Yeah, I just have a short report, but I did want to start with some very good news. For the past 2 years, I've written letters along with our congressional delegation in support of WCT Marine getting a small shipyard grant. The program's called the Small Shipyard Grant Program from MARAD, the Maritime Administration. At WCT Marine, as many of your listeners might know, is the outfit out at Tongue Point, which builds boats. They build commercial fishing vessels. They repair vessels, tugboats, barges, commercial vessels. They have already gotten up to 50 highly skilled blue-collar employees, welders out there. Unfortunately, I think they've laid off at least 35 of their folks. But they did just get a grant from the Maritime Administration for $572,000 that will allow them to increase their outside work area to do more construction and more repair work on boats, hire more employees once this crisis is over. And so that's really good news for our community. And I want to thank Senator Betsy Johnson and Congresswoman Susan Bonamici for their help in getting that grant as well.
Yeah, that sounds like a real economic positive thing for the area.
You know, that work that's happening at North Tongue Point under Hayak Maritime, which purchased that land a few years ago, is just tremendous, and it is exactly what Astoria needs to be doing. These are skilled blue-collar jobs. They're maritime jobs. It's part of our heritage, and it's exactly the type of work that we need. So that's just great news.
Sounds like it could dovetail nicely with the maritime program at the college.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, they have had some of the welders that are coming out of Clatsop Community College go right into work for WCT Marine. So it's nice to have that collaboration that's taking place between an employer and the education world to get the right skill sets into the marketplace and let people stay right here in Astoria. So that's about all the good news I have for you on the economic side. As people have heard, the Paycheck Protection Program, which was one of the benefits that came out of the CARES Act a few weeks ago, was depleted as of yesterday morning. So that's $350 billion already spent. And there's a lot of controversy around some of the companies that were able to quickly get their applications through, and others, including many small businesses right here in Astoria, who were not able to get their applications through in time. That would include there was some social media talk about Gymri Shoes was one of the local companies which was working through the process and did not get it before the funding ran dry. And people have had problems working with their local banks, not only if they weren't an existing customer of a local bank, but even existing customers of local banks in many cases were not successful in being able to apply through a local bank. And the whole process, I think you could say, is kind of reflective of the fact that this legislation was rushed through very quickly. You know, this is one of those double-edged sword. I mean, of course, in a crisis like this, you want Congress to be able to act quickly and get aid to people who need it quickly. But anytime you do something that quickly, there's going to be mistakes and there's going to be shortcomings. You know, the old saying, you can have it fast or you can have it good, but you can't have it fast and good. And so, not surprisingly, you know, lots of people that needed the funding got the funding, but a lot of people who needed the funding didn't get the funding. Now, Congress is currently looking at another $250 billion to add to the Paycheck Protection Program, which, for your listeners who don't know, that's a program where employers are incentivized to keep employees hired or to rehire employees they've laid off. It provides about 8 weeks of payroll costs, and in exchange, the employer has to bring people back on the payroll for that eight-week period or not lay them off if you haven't laid them off yet. So it's a good program, but it needs more funding, and hopefully that will come soon. On the unemployment side of the house, we've heard of a lot of people that are getting their unemployment checks. Unfortunately, we've also heard of a lot of people who 4 weeks later still haven't gotten them. I talked to the owner of Moe's, the Moe's restaurant chain, about 3 days ago, and at that time, of 400 employees they had laid off, one half of them had not been able to even get their applications through yet, and of the half that were able to, half of them had gotten a check and half hadn't. So only one quarter of 400 laid off employees had gotten any unemployment benefits yet. So that's the kind of difficulties that people are having. You know, our elected representatives, again, Senator Johnson, Representative Mitchell, they're working very hard to try to help us. But it's a mechanical problem, to tell you the truth. They tripled the size of the workforce processing unemployment in Salem to 300 people, but the pipeline they have to work with is a 50-year-old software program run on COBOL, which they stopped using when I was in high school, I think. And you just can't add that much capacity on it immediately. You just can't do it. So they're working through it as fast as they can, but that doesn't really help people who haven't been paid yet.
Sounds like there should be an app for that. If you are just joining us, we're talking with Mayor Bruce Jones of Astoria about the financial impacts that people are experiencing from the COVID crisis. And we welcome your calls and we welcome your questions, 503-325-0010. We'd love to know what your experience has been with seeking financial assistance, whether through the Paycheck Protection Program, through an EIDL, through unemployment. What's your experience been? Call in and let the community know what you've been experiencing so we can all learn from each other's experiences. So, Bruce, I'll let you take it back.
Yeah. So I did want to mention that there is a North Coast Regional Economic Recovery Team, and that we have a couple local members on that. So Kevin Leahy from the Small Business Development Center and David Reed, who's the executive director of our local Chamber of Commerce. They're both on that team, along with representative from the governor's office and a lot of other folks. And they're working very hard on continually pushing forward what all the concerns are of our local residents, the difficulties they're having as individuals who have been laid off and the difficulties our businesses are having. So we couldn't have better representation pushing information to the governor and pushing information to our federal officials. And you know, so that's not where the barriers are. They're not in getting information pushed forward. It's just that the system, if you will, in quotes, the system is just having a hard time accommodating this drastic need in such a short period of time.
Bruce, can I bring up something that someone mentioned in a Facebook comment on my post? Jenny said, don't forget to include in this money conversation all the undocumented workers who are considered essential as they work in the fields or the canneries so that the rest of us can eat but won't receive any stimulus money. About those mixed status families who also won't receive stimulus money, and about all the undocumented folks who are currently laid off, ineligible for stimulus checks and unemployment benefits, even though they all pay taxes. Has undocumented workers come up at all for you?
You know, I have not been part of that conversation, so I would have to defer to the Regional Economic Recovery Team or to our Congresswoman Bonamici to ask if that has come up. I have not heard that in the conversations that I've been part of, so I'm sorry I don't have an answer for that.
That's quite all right. I respect a man who knows what he doesn't know. We do have a caller. Let's see if they've got a question for you or just a general comment. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hi, go ahead.
Oh, hi. My name is Amy. I'm a independent consultant. I'm a recruiter, and I live in Astoria. And so because of this, because of what's going on, I am not eligible for a stimulus check, because if your money all dries out this year and you made good money last year, you don't get a stimulus check. You don't get to file for unemployment because the systems are messed up. And the small business programs don't protect sole proprietors who don't have employees. I also wanted to just make a couple of comments that the small business program also allowed millionaire franchise owners. There was talked about members of Congress who owned franchises got the got assistance, as well as hedge fund companies, because they were technically small businesses, even though they're run by millionaires and sometimes billionaires. I also wanted to comment about the unemployment system, which was built in COBOL, as we were talking about here. Betsy Johnson doesn't have any experience working in tech, but she was quoted as saying that, oh, they should have pushed more when they were funded in 2009 with, I think it was $27 million to update the systems, and nothing has been done. So I have a hard time hearing everybody kissing up to Betsy Johnson, who hasn't really done much to advocate for the unemployment system. That's pretty much all I've got to say.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your comments and your call.
Okay, thanks.
You're listening to the conversation.
I can try to address a few of those. So, and I am not the expert on the independent contractor and self-employed sole proprietors. Other than I know, I have read in numerous sources that there were supposed to be some provisions under, I'm looking right here at an announcement that came out on the 10th that today's the first day, the 10th of April. Today is the first day independent contractors and self-employed individuals can apply for the Paycheck Protection Program. And I was fairly confident I had read that under the new federal unemployment benefits, sole proprietors and independent contractors were going to be able to apply for unemployment benefits. But again, I would turn anyone with those questions to the Small Business Development Center, to CEDAR. They've got about 7 people on staff over there that could give more specific information. I'm not the expert, but I do know that I have read that specifically with independent contractors, freelancers, that there were going to be some benefits coming to them through the Federal CARES Act. And as far as the software program that the unemployment department uses, I don't know anything about Senator Johnson's voting history on that particular product. I know that it's been identified for a long time that software system needed to be updated, and you can certainly see when you neglect infrastructure and software programs are part of your infrastructure, when you have a crisis, it really hurts.
It's been my experience that software and operating systems and computers last maybe 7 to 10 years, and then they need an upgrade. If it's a closed system, I understand that if it works, it can keep working. But it does seem like it would have been good to give it a little bit more juice.
Some of the problems are, so Governor Brown made an announcement that they're no longer going to have the 1 week waiting period for new unemployment applicants. And the problem is, she made that pronouncement, but the people that run the system said, we can't do that. I mean, in order for them to make the modifications, the code changes to that program that would allow them to make what would seem to be a simple change, it would add weeks of delay to people getting their benefits. So things are never as simple as they seem when you're dealing with changing a computer program.
Okay, well, again, if you're just joining us, this is The Conversation on Coast Community Radio. We welcome your calls, your questions, your thoughts, your concerns, 503-325-0010. And if you'd like to wish the station a happy birthday, you're more than welcome to do that as well. Bruce, any final thoughts before I let you go for the day?
I guess I would just add by saying, we know this is going to be a very long-term situation that we're in. There'll be some loosening of restrictions, but we're not going to get back to full normal until there's a vaccine. This could be a year and a half from now. And there's been a lot of innovation by the school system, for example. They really didn't have any choice. They had to go to remote learning at the community college and also Astoria School District. There's been some shifting to telehealth on the medical side of the house. And we've seen some of our local small businesses, too, begin to be innovative in how they adapt to this crisis so they can still provide some services, sell some products, instead of keeping their doors completely closed. When restrictions are lifted on those other businesses that are currently required to be closed, I think we're going to see you know, success or failure over the next year will be, to some extent, determined by how innovative businesses can be and sort of adapting to these new circumstances. And I don't know what that means, what that looks like, but I think adaptation and innovation are going to be really key to businesses being able to stay above water for the next year and a half. And I know that CEDAR, the Small Business Development Center, is going to be very interested in working with businesses on how what that looks like. But happy birthday, KMUN.
Oh, yes, yes. You know, I was 4 years old when the station went on the air.
Wow.
That means they've hired a four-year-old to manage this place.
Well, congratulations. You're doing pretty well for such a youngster.
Thanks, Bruce. Okay, thanks for the call, and thanks for your time and for your words and your reassurances. And thanks for everything you're doing.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is The Conversation on Coast Community Radio. We are happy to take your calls at this point, and we're happy to hear your birthday wishes for the station. We do have our next caller. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead. Ooh, that's
Hi, it's Andrea.
Oh,
happy
hey.
Birthday.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah.
On behalf of the station, of course.
On behalf of the station, not you specifically.
Right.
Hey, I just wanted to speak a little bit on, from what I know about the payment protection plan, I was looking online at that, and what that does offer for sole proprietors still is that 75% of the funds that might be forgivable have to be used to pay payroll still. So if you are not someone that pays yourself payroll, those funds still wouldn't be forgivable. So it's still leaving a huge gap in there, I think, for like people that don't have themselves on payroll as independent contractors, sole proprietors, self-employed, as I read it 2 days ago. So I just wanted to comment on that and also say that you guys are doing such a great job. I love it. Thanks.
Thanks, Andrea.
You're welcome.
Bye. Bye-bye. This is The Conversation, 503-325-0010. We're talking about the financial impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic, and we'd like to hear what your experience has been. Have you applied for one of these loans and been denied? Did you get a payment protection program loan? Paycheck protection program loan? Or what about the EIDL? What are your experiences? We want to know. So give us a call, 503-325-0010. While we're waiting for the phone to ring, let's hear another birthday message from one of our fine programmers who wish that they could be here hanging out with you on the air more than anything else. Let's hear from, how about, did we do JD already? Let's do JD.
Hi, this is JD Wells. Perhaps you've heard my voice on the sounds of Saturday night at Coast Community Radio. I've been involved with Coast Community Radio ever since 1986, when it was just a fledgling young station. Well, this Friday, the 17th of April, Coast Community Radio turns 37. If you can afford it, please consider a birthday gift for this wonderful station. Go to coastcommunityradio.org and click on the donate button.
Hello, everyone. You'll Spin feel and good Lynn here.
Those hits just keep coming right after one another. Thank you, JD, for your kind words about the station. And thanks to everyone who supports the station. We are still volunteer-operated, and we are still listener-supported, despite all that's happening. And I understand that times are tough, times are uncertain, and we only ask that you do what you are comfortable doing to support this station. We'll make it through one way or the other. We're a plucky group. But 503-325-0010 is the number to call if you'd like to join the conversation. And we're talking about the COVID-19 deal that we're all going through. Are there any major takeaways? We can digress. We can leave the financial piece of this. Doesn't seem to be a very hot topic for today. So let's heat it up. I saw that the Dalai Lama says that the only way to beat the pandemic is through compassion. Sounds good to me. Let's give it a shot. And how about another birthday greeting? How about from a bedtime stories reader, one named Gary? Here's Gary.
Hello, this is Gary, and I'm a bedtime story programmer celebrating Coast Community Radio's 37th birthday. As you know, our latest pledge drive was interrupted by the virus. So will you join us in making our silent drive a success by becoming a member or making a donation? You can send your birthday gift via our website at coastradio.org just by hitting that red donate button, or send a birthday check to KMUN P.O. Box 269, Astoria, Oregon 97103. Let's work together through these trying times to keep Coast Community Radio alive and well. Thank you very much.
Okay, there we go. Thanks, Gary. And we've got our next caller. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
What we've learned is that the...
Hey, I'm sorry. I had the wrong fader up. Can you start again? We missed the first part of that.
Yeah, my takeaway on this is that the state and federal bureaucracies are not equipped to take care of the greater population in terms of a crisis, even though we've fed them tons of money. I think the conversation should focus on how we in this area can focus on doing local. How can we get a food supply that's local? How can we get some kind of manufacturing that's local? I don't have the answers, but we should have people like Bruce and the mayors and people in the community get together and say, how can we as a group take care of this area? Because what we're seeing is that when an area specializes in one thing, they get hammered and they can't do anything else. Right now, we're dependent on Fred Meyer trucks and Costco trucks getting us food. But we have people all around here who grow food, who have cattle and sheep, but we don't have a processing plant. Anyway, my point is we need to get together and figure out how we can focus on local and independent. Thank you.
Thank you. That's an excellent point, and I totally agree. I think that's one of the things that we can look at as we emerge from this, too, is we can look back and say, well, what could we have done better? How could we have been more prepared? So 503-325-0010, call in and join the conversation. Let's see if we've got a caller. Hi, are you there? All right, sorry, hang tight. We'll get those folks patched through. Hello, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, I had a comment for Graham.
That's me.
Hi, my name's Rachel Whistler, and I've lived in Astoria approximately 25 years and been... listening to KMUN the whole time, so thank you and happy birthday.
Thank you.
I had a comment. I'm a teacher with the Seaside School District, and I am not representing them in any way. I'm also a member of Resilient Clatsop County that is trying to build resiliency because of specifically traumatic childhood and chronic childhood events that can have adverse effects on health, mental health, all the systems of the body, and a lot of social implications. And so what I'd like to hear from the community about is how our nonprofits that provide so many key gap services, I might mention CASA, Child-Appointed Special Advocates for Children, VOCA, Lunch Buddies, Foster, kids, many of these have missed opportunities for their fundraisers, just as you have. And I'm very concerned that when we come out the other side, even in the short term, we may not have the wonderful services that we were used to help our vulnerable community.
That's a really good point. Nonprofit public service organizations, how are they surviving?
Right. And how will we be able to balance our own personal finances with wanting to support those nonprofits when we're all, you know, coming at this from a little bit of a fear perspective and concern for immediate family members, but also our homeless, our children, our underserved. So I just wanted to have that prompt out there, and I appreciate all you guys do.
Thank you so much for your call. This is The Conversation, and you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning. Hey, Graham.
Susie.
Hi, this is Susie McCleary. I wanted to say happy birthday and mention one thing that I figured out. I was about 37 years old 37 years ago, and that makes me almost 74. Well, that means half my life has been involved with this radio station, which has meant so much to all of us. And I just want to say we all need to donate about $40, because we've all been working about 40 years to make a station that started in 37 years ago. And I pledged about a month ago, we started our pledge drive. I said I would pay on the 17th of April $37, and I mean that. And I want to challenge others who are just plain old members and supporters to do the same. Give generously. We really need your support right now. And I'll be on the air as soon as I can. Thank you so much for everything you're doing to keep us going.
Well, thank you, Susie, and the station is so lucky to have you.
Well, I wished I were there today, and it makes us all so lonesome not to be able to walk through the beautiful door of the Tillicum House. And we will be back as soon as you allow it.
Absolutely.
We respect that.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, okay. Susie.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. It's The Conversation, 503-325-0010. Do we have a caller? Hi, you're on the air.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Okay. So,
it's Carol.
First, I want to ditto everything that Susie just said, except that I'm a little bit older. This is Carol from Brownsmead. And I am so missing being on the air, but I am so loving that KMUN is still 24/7. And big thanks to you, Graham, and to the staff, and to all of the volunteers, and to everyone over the past, beyond 37 years. I started volunteering 38 years ago when Rebecca asked me to help with fundraising. So couldn't live without KMUN, can't imagine it. And most of all, I really appreciate, well, just about everything, especially progressive programming, Democracy Now!, Alternative Radio, Counterspin, Michael McCusker. Check out his broadcast from yesterday.
That's a good one.
And also to the gentleman who talked about depending on certain big box stores, I want to redirect him and remind everybody our Astoria Co-op, which is all local people who put it together, who financed it, who had the vision, and it is happening. It is doing very well in terms of safety and provisions. So give them a call if you need help, 325-0027. They'll help you shop. And let's support all our local organizations, agencies, and most of all, each other. And yes, call in, punch the cake. Hit the cake. Get yourself a piece of cake on the KMUN coastradio.org. And thank you, thank you, thank you. With lots of love, treasure each day.
Well, we certainly do, and we treasure each day that you are a part of our broadcast, Carol. Thank you for the call. We're getting towards the top of the hour. I don't mind going over headline news. I think you all know what's happening. So we can keep talking if you'd like. 503-325-0010. We can keep going with the birthday wishes for the station, or we can keep coming up with great ideas for how our community can be stronger when we emerge from all of this. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for supporting this radio station. And thank you to Liam for doing a fine job on the phones today. Looks like he's got one caller that he's going to be patching through, so I'll wait patiently for that to happen. Hey, that's called automation. We're running some automated programming these days, in case you hadn't noticed. And so this is, I suppose, a good opportunity to say, if you're listening and you like what you hear, unfortunately, you can't give us a call and tell the DJ how much you're enjoying the show. You can't call and ask them what song that was, because they have pre-recorded their shows. They're working hard from home to bring you fresh content, and they're doing a great job. Lots of programmers have stepped up and learned new skills and continued to provide programming for you. And so I hope that it's been a comfort and a solace, and it's been entertaining, and it's been informative. And I would like to give a shout out to our news department, both Joanne Rideout, our news director, and Dylan Hauser-Schalk, our anchor and host in the mornings and voice of the evening news. Thanks to Kathleen in Skamakaway. Thanks to Jacob in Astoria. They've been stringers for us and helping with our broadcast as well. So here we go. We've got our last caller for the day. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi there. How are you doing today, Graham?
Oh, pretty good. How are you?
It's a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day.
I'm Reverend Scotty Smith. Just wanted to say thank you and happy birthday to the station.
Thank you, Scotty.
And thank you to all the volunteers, obviously. I wanted to conclude the original conversation. My question out there to Astoria is about the homeless. I'm a street musician, almost by trade, especially now. And, well, I have contact with these people constantly. They're right now very uneducated about the coronavirus, and not just uneducated, but I don't think that there's any help there to keep them safe at all.
You know,
what are your thoughts?
The homelessness issue was an issue before all this happened, and I think that this has only exacerbated it, made it worse for folks, made it harder to maintain housing if you're on the borderline. And so, like the Dalai Lama said, now is the time for compassion. Now is the time to band together to help each other out.
Absolutely.
We're not going to get through this if we're looking out for our own interests. And I hope you hear me out there in Washington, D.C., as you pass legislation that helps millionaires and billionaires but leaves folks stranded on the street.
Amen.
So thank you for your call, Scotty.
Thank you. Have a great day, Graham.
You too. Bye. Thanks for listening to The Conversation today. I'm going to run a couple more birthday spots, and then we'll go out with a song. Albert Smith has prepared a Friday folk for you today. Lots of good programming to come. It may not be live on the spot, but it was probably recorded just a day or two ago, and we're going to keep that up as long as it takes until we get these folks back in the chair and where they can answer the phones and hear from you. One way that you can keep in touch with us is you can send us an email, feedback@coastradio.org, and that goes to all the staff members, and we can forward it on to a programmer or whoever needs to hear what your feedback is. So I encourage you to send emails to the station through the feedback@coastradio.org email address. And another thing that I'm sort of excited to share is that as we scrambled to figure out a way to keep programming on the air, we got these boxes in our programmer's hands. It's called a Rodecaster, and it's a little device that has faders just like our board does here at the station. And you can plug in a mic and headphones, and you can plug in your computer or your, you know, you can feed music into it. So that's how these shows are being produced. But what I'm excited about is that I made sure that I could get something that would continue to be useful to us after this crisis. And so I didn't want to spend money in case this all wrapped up in a month or two or three or 12. I wanted these to be permanent resources for the station. And so the way that we plan to use them is to, we've been wanting to expand our youth and radio program. And so these Rodecasters will go out to the area high schools, and we will train groups of students on how to use them, and they can create their own podcast, or they can create their own segments that they can send to us to air on our Astoria youth radio program. Sorry, it's just called Youth and Radio because we're trying to get away from just being Astoria. We want to hear from the students in Seaside, in Skamakaway, Kathlamet, Long Beach, Ilwaco, Tillamook, Klatskanai, Napa. And so, you know, we've got three or four or five of these little neat little remote recording boxes. And so those are going to be a really neat asset for us in the future. And I look forward to seeing what results that brings. And so I suppose you could consider that a little birthday present that the station gave itself. And additionally, the piece of equipment that Joanne Rideout has been using to broadcast live ship reports and live news segments from home is a remote broadcast device that we've been saving up for a while. And I do want to say that funding for our remote broadcasting does come in part from the Clatsop County Cultural Coalition, through a generous grant that we got a couple of years ago. And so that money has gone to good use. This unit was not cheap, but it's going to provide a lot of really great service for us over the years as we go back into the community to do live broadcasts, and as we use it now as a contingency device to stay on the air and to keep you informed. This is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, online at coastradio.org.